All right, welcome back to the Ed Show, episode number 25.
25, that's a lot of episodes, Dave.
That is, that's like almost a quarter of the way to 100.
Exactly.
That's right. There we go. Well, we got a number of news items for you today. And the first one we have, and most of you are probably familiar, Microsoft Security Essentials released a major point update, 4.0.
Yep.
So I know that a lot of family, friends, and folks that I know like the free anti-malware software.
I like the free anti-malware software,
yeah,
right?
I like it too. It's nice, quick, performant, so that's a good little bonus.
Yep.
Speaking of anti-malware, though, we have some other stuff on Windows Azure, right?
Sure, absolutely. So we have released endpoint protection for Windows Azure. So what this is it's essentially a software package that enables things that you've got running up in your Windows Azure service to actually get the full endpoint protection. You've got, you know, anti-malware, the scans, you've got both runtime as well as scheduled scans, all the remediation that you need, as well as signature updates. And this is really cool in the fact that your developer can actually go in, configure these extensions. Then what happens is when that role starts up in Windows Azure, it'll go ahead, install everything. Based upon the locale that you've set up and the location of the data center which your package is, we'll go out, find the nearest server, to get all those updates, get everything up and running, so you've got all of that antivirus, anti-malware protection for your Windows Azure VMs. So really cool.
That's cool, yeah. So, I mean, you copy and paste a couple lines of code and maybe a couple spots, and and you can automate that for all your VMs or your instances of Azure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of the Windows Azure SDK. You go out, get it configured. Developers can go ahead and get it all set up, and then your Windows Azure virtual machines will be up and running and good.
For us IT guys, it's nice to know you're protected, you're safe
there. Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. It's a great new piece of stuff.
Cool. All right. So then I think the next up we have cost savings, so price reduction. We like those, right?
We do. We absolutely love price reductions. And this specifically is around SharePoint and SharePoint Online. And so first of all, we've increased the amount of storage that you get in SharePoint Online from the 5 terabyte limit all the way up to 25 terabytes. So you can go ahead and get all those documents, start sharing them from the very start of creation of a document through all the editing processes and everything, and get it going. And then the other piece, as you mentioned, significant price reductions, right? So first of all, 92%. It used to be $2.50 per gigabyte a month, dropped all the way down to 20 cents. Per gigabyte
that's
per month
a
of additional
big difference.
Storage. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
well,
so
well, yeah,
92%.
That's pretty huge. Yeah, well, for the IT guys that are out there who have maybe SharePoint on site, or they're thinking, they're like, man, I like SharePoint, or my data is exploding.
Yeah,
you know, for you to go to the Office 365 service and extend your service for that cheap is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Both cost and the fact that now we've added those storage limits, right, all the way up to 25 terabytes. That's quite a bit of storage. Quite a bit of storage.
Yeah, for sure.
You've got some news on your wheelhouse, the stuff you've been talking a lot about.
That's
with consumerization of IT.
That's right. So there's these new things, I don't know, maybe this TLG is
TLG.
Test lab guides. You know, I don't know, I hadn't heard of them for a while, but we've got Windows 8 server beta TLGs, but also this new set of test lab guides popped up. So it's set of instructions essentially on how to build your own consumerization of IT environment using all currently shipping products. So, you know, Server 2008 R2, Windows 7, but it goes through a lot of the scenarios that we talk about in consumerization of IT. So things like server and domain isolation, protecting your information, protecting your message, emails, and all kinds of different things like that. And so it's kind of good. So if you want to spin up your own environment, go through some walkthrough guides, it's pretty handy for folks out there.
So if I'm just an IT guy looking to get started and getting some support for all of these various devices I've got coming in, we've got the baseline for you guys to go ahead and get started in.
Right. And a lot of, as this consumerization of IT show I've been doing and all the things I've been talking about, there's a lot of things you can take from that environment and the things you've learned and start to kind of apply and play around a little bit more yourself.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, with that,
I think it's guest time.
That's right, it's guest time.
Time for me to get out of here, is what
you're
saying?
Yeah, that's right. We got Josh here, and we're going to be talking about some information protection, so.
I'm going to step out and let Josh come on in, so I'll catch you later.
All right, cool, man.
Bye, Matt.
See ya. All right, well, I am here with Josh Heller, and Josh, could you tell everybody a little bit about what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. So I'm a senior product manager on the enterprise client marketing team, and
basically, I work with a lot of Microsoft's identity technologies, particularly those that are built into Windows Server.
Okay, okay. Well, the topic of today is information protection. So identity obviously ties into that and how everything's protected. First of all, how does this whole topic of information protection relate to consumerization of IT, with people bringing in all kinds of devices and whatnot?
So, you know, we used to have the old days where people would sit nicely in their desk from 9 to 5, and then at 5 o'clock they'd go home and they'd leave their desktop at work. These days, as everybody's bringing in their iPads and they have their mobile phones and they might have a personal device to bring in to work to do their job, we've got to find a better way to keep the information safe, because it's no longer kept protected within this big, heavy, thick corporate firewall. The information's expected to move around. So how do we, as Microsoft, help our customers keep that data safe, regardless of whether it's on somebody's iPad or a corporate-owned laptop? That's all about information protection. How do we keep the data safe, no matter where it is?
Yeah, and I know, like, you know, a lot of folks now are a lot of organizations are having to succumb to, okay, well, we're going to open it up on, you know, Exchange Active Sync and getting email on devices. And, you know, of course, people bring documents and all kinds of other things on there. So one of the first things I was hoping we could show maybe a little bit is on how maybe we utilize the actual Exchange infrastructure and Active Directory device management to kind of protect information.
Sure. One of the great things about ADRMS is that we have this flexibility to not only manually protect files when they're sitting on a file server, but we can also integrate it with a lot of the great Microsoft products like Exchange Server. So let's go ahead and take a look. So here we are. We're actually on an Exchange 2010 server. We're within the Exchange Management Console, and what we're going to do is we're going to actually look at a technology that we've got that can actually detect certain information as it crosses through the Exchange server and then add rights protection to it. So with the Hub Transport, we're going to go ahead and take a look. And on these tabs we've got across the top, one of these tabs is actually labeled Transport Rules. These are rules that we configure to basically manage the messages, manages the mail as it goes through the Exchange server. In this case, we've actually created a filter, and we'll go ahead and open that up. And we can see that we have this transport rule. And this transport rule, you can see from the comment, is basically set up to automatically add rights protection to any email that contains a credit card number. To see what this looks like is we actually can click Next, and we can look at sort of the summary view down in step two, where we've already configured this. And here, we're applying a rule to messages any time that the subject or the message body contains this really ugly pattern. Anybody that knows regular expressions basically knows that looks like a 4-4-4-4 pattern. So anytime we see that pattern, which is basically a credit card number, we know that we want to take an action on it.
Yeah, and so the beautiful thing here, right, is that you have full customization of those regular expressions, so you can add all kinds of things in. And then the other thing that I like here, I mean, if you look at that list, is there's a large number of possibilities or conditions you can set to apply things to.
Yeah, there's a ton of flexibility here. And this is all about, you know, how do we sort of help the two big parties that we're interested in? How do we help the IT pros that we know and love? How do we help them do their job and keep their organization's information safe while at the same time keeping their end users happy? How can we make them the hero?
Yeah. And so if you know, for instance, you have like CX executives and you want to protect their mails, or you have sales emails, you can get all kinds of criteria here to really customize when you want to protect information.
Yeah. In this case, it's a pretty simple example where what we're doing is we're detecting that pattern, and then we've decided that we're going to create this action. And again, just like we had a whole bunch of options around how do we detect a condition, we've also got quite a few things we can do as far as an action. Since we're here today to talk about information protection, we're going to actually RMS protect this. What we've done is we've basically selected a particular RMS template to apply to any of these messages. In this case, we're picking a really simple one. We're just basically saying, do not forward. So anytime we detect that credit card number pattern in a message, in the subject or the message body, we're just going to go ahead and rights protect it and not let anybody forward it.
Yeah, and with that Contoso confidential one, that one, for instance, right, would be something like, I only want people, let's say, that are full-time employees or authenticated inside my company to be able to open things.
Yeah, we're really giving people the flexibility to decide who gets what rights to what information. We want to make it as flexible as possible.
Okay.
So should we go ahead and take a look at how this actually works?
Yeah, let's see it in action.
Great. Okay, so now we've stepped over to Windows 7 desktop, and in this scenario, I'm actually logged in as Chris Green, who's an employee of Contoso Corporation. We're going to go ahead and show how we can use that Exchange Transport rule to basically add rights protection to a message if I send a message from my Chris Green desktop to a coworker. So what we're going to do is, on this desktop, we're going to go ahead and open up Outlook. Within Outlook, I've already got a message that I've authored, and I've actually written this message to Melissa Macbeth. Within this message, I've got somebody's credit card number.
you know, a lot of the people watching this will know that you really should never send credit cards in an email, because typically emails aren't protected, they aren't encrypted. What we're doing is actually making it safe to send credit cards through email, because we're giving people the ability to not only write to protect the message themselves, but in this case, at Contoso Corporation, I've actually configured my email server to actually detect when a credit card number is being sent, so that it could automatically write to protect it. We're actually going to take this a step farther. We're not only going to send this credit card number through write to protect the email, we're going to actually include a protected document along with it. So we're going to go ahead and attach a file. And here I've got a folder on the root of my C drive called docs, and I've just got a handful of files in here. And I'm going to go ahead and pick out this new employee checklist protected. And maybe we've protected it because it includes some Contoso confidential information. This is in here, and if you want, we can actually open it up.
Yeah,
we can actually see that it's protected. It's going to go ahead and start up Word. And now at the top, you can see that there's restricted access. And if we look to see what the restricted access is, we've basically set that only Melissa and Macbeth can read this particular information. And if you remember, Melissa's the employee we're going to send this message to. Maybe this is because it's got personal information about Melissa, her employee number, her social security number, something like that. So now that we've confirmed that this is actually a protected document, we're going to go ahead and close Word. And I'm going to go ahead and just send this message here to Melissa Macbeth.
Okay.
There we go. It's been sent.
Okay. Yeah, and one of the nice things about the document, too, is with ADRMS on Office documents, right, is people can manually add the protection of those.
Yep.
In a little bit, we're going to have to, I want to see how we can automate the protection
yes.
of those files.
Yes.
But for now, let's actually go snap back to Melissa's iPad that she has here and take a look at what that experience looks like with her opening this protected email on her iPad. All right, so here I am on Melissa's iPad. So I'm going to go into the email, okay? And one of the first things you're going to notice here is we got this email just now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually open up this email message. Now, we have different partners out there, and this particular partner is called GigaTrust that actually enables ADRMS protection on Outlook. But there are a lot of different partners that are here to extend ADRMS to a bunch of different devices. So what we're going to do here is we're going to open a GigaTrust Viewer. And now what that did for us is it actually decrypted that message, or it made sure that Melissa was valid to be able to open that message on the iPad. And then we also have this document here. So what we can do is we can just click on this attachment. And then it, of course, is making sure that she has the proper permissions to open that document as well. And there we go. We actually see this ADRMS protected document right there on the iPad. And then, of course, you know, I mentioned a lot of different partners here, but of course, when you have any Windows device, like you have a Windows phone, we actually automatically have ADRMS abilities to decrypt those different documents and emails built into the phone itself. So you don't have to have actually any partners to decrypt that. So this really shows you how you have a lot of capabilities with ADRMS to protect your information, right, in all of the different devices and places that yep. your information could pop up, including email, right?
Including email, yeah, especially email. Okay. No, I mean, these days, this is the way we share information. You know, we want to make it as flexible as possible. I keep going back to this idea of flexibility, because we don't want to force our IT pros into one particular direction. Their customers, their users are asking them for options, so we want to give them those options. Yep.
So one of the other places that you know I know we have ADRMS is on SharePoint, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a place where documents are stored. So what can we do there?
Okay, so here we are within SharePoint. Within SharePoint, we've actually got some flexibility within the document libraries themselves to actually apply a rights protection policy to those libraries themselves. So let's take a quick look at how that happens.
Yeah.
So here we are. I've gone ahead and I've created this document library that we've titled ADRMS Documents. I'm going to go ahead and click on that document library, and you see that we've got this policy document. Let's take a quick look at how this gets set up. Within this toolbar up at the top, I can click on Library and then look at my library settings. And within library settings, under Permissions and Management, you'll see we've actually got this heading called Information Rights Management. We'll click on that and take a quick look. And here we have the ability to basically restrict permission on documents in the library, and we can actually do that using those rights management templates we've created, in this case, Contoso Confidential. We can also do things like how often do we require users to reassert who they are to put in their credentials again. We can also disallow the ability to upload documents that don't support information rights management. This basically gives the IT administrator the flexibility to decide, you know, what types of documents get uploaded and actually make sure that anything within this folder is rights protected. So next we can take a look at what this looks like. So we'll go back to the document library, and we've got this confidential policy document. I'm going to go ahead and open it up. Word 2010 is going to start, and what will happen is I'm going to get prompted, and here we are. I'm going to get prompted that this is a rights protected document. In this case, it's just confirming that I actually want to go ahead and contact that rights management server. So I'm going to say OK. Once it's open, you'll notice that up at the top, we've got this Contoso confidential notice, which basically, if I look at the permission, says that only employees of Contoso have the ability to view this file. However, nobody except the document owner has the ability to edit, copy, print, or any other type of policy. You can also see that within SharePoint, we had set document expiration. And here, in this case, we're actually notifying that that document's going to expire within 60 days. So pretty quick example, but pretty simple to see how, you know, we can integrate rights management services with some of those, with some of the favorite document management tools like SharePoint Server. So the last thing we're going to look at today are some of the things we can do on the file server. So real quick, what we're going to do is take a look within Server Manager at this tool we've got within Windows 2008 R2 called the File Server Resource Manager. Within FSRM, we have the ability to do things like creating classification rules that automatically identify files and the contents of those files, and then we're able to classify those files so that we can do something with it. In this case, we've got a really, really simple example where I've created a classification rule for high business impact data. In this example, anything I'm doing, any document that I've got within that C drive in that docs folder, I can create a classification. In this case, I've got a content classifier. And anytime it meets certain criteria, I can assign a property value, in this case, business impact, to high. Within here, we've got the ability to actually decide what do we classify on. We've created this classification parameter, which is basically a 16-character string. Again, sort of going back to the idea of a credit card number. Anytime we've got a file or document within that C:docs folder that matches that pattern, we're going to automatically assign that classification value. The next thing is, what do we do once we've assigned that classification value? And here we've got this setup called the file management tasks. So here we're looking for any document that has that business impact value that we just looked at set to high, and then we can take an action on it. In this case, we've created a custom action. This custom action is basically executing a PowerShell script, and part of that PowerShell script is basically going to go through and actually encrypt that file using an RMS template. It works really well, but admittedly it's a little bit bulky, so we think we can do a little bit better as we move forward towards Windows Server 2012.
Okay, well, yeah, that's very handy. I know a lot of people have a lot of different file shares, and you know that's a great way to really dig in and classify the information and then apply protection to all those documents that are there.
Yep.
So we've shown a lot of different ways where ADRMS is actually protected and some ways that people can actually start protecting their information inside their organization. I know that we've shown things all on kind of 2008 R2 yep. time frame with ADRMS and the servers. What else is new, right? We've got Server 2012 coming up.
Yes, we do.
Yep.
You know, so the team's been really, really hard at work. This idea of information protection is really, it's taken hold, and our customers really, really love it. They like the idea of, you know what, my users are taking this data all over the place. I've got all these different file servers all over the world. You know, Microsoft helped make this easier for me. So we've invested a lot of time in development into Windows Server 2012 to make that easier. One example of that is actually a technology that we call Dynamic Access Control. Dynamic Access Control basically extends the idea of the File Server Resource Manager and the file classification infrastructure that we just looked at, and basically helps our users, you know, basically make that a very distributed technology so we can create all these policies centrally and then push these out to all these file servers all over the world. I also mentioned toward the very end that we wanted to make it easier to do RMS protection within the Windows Server 2012 timeframe. And basically, we're going to do that. So what we've done is within the File Server Resource Manager, we've actually removed the need to do customized, specialized PowerShell scripts to apply RMS protection. And now it's just available out of the box. You choose RMS protection, you choose a template to apply, and it just works.
Okay. Well, I know that we have a lot more information
yes.
coming there.
Yes.
Up on our Consumerization of IT MSL Jumpstart.
Yep.
That's coming up here on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So definitely check that out and watch our session that we have together.
Yeah.
And we'll dig into all the Server 2012 stuff.
Great.
All right. So till next time, you know, tune into the Edge Show. And if you got questions or comments, feel free to reply to this post on the Edge Show, or just send us a tweet at TNEdge.